Good evening. This is Bob Lederer. I'm the convener of the staff list definition working group of the PNB Elections Committee. It's Sunday, August 26th, and we will now begin our meeting. Why don't we just go around and everyone introduce themselves? Let's go by station and just say a little about you know, what your status is, your role in this working group. So I'm a staff representative on the PNB and an unpaid staff member myself. I'm a member of the unpaid staff union. So let's go to the BAI people.
Okay, Carolyn Burden here. I'm on the local station board, a member of the elections committee, and I'm a listener representative.
Next.
Serene, I'm an LSB staff rep.
Marcus Ostrand of WBAI Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee. I'm a staff steward.
Okay, and the KPFA folks?
Yeah, I'm Anthony Fest. I'm a newscaster at KPFA. I'm also on the local station board as an unpaid staff rep, and I was just elected to our UPSO Council.
And why don't you say what UPSO is?
Yeah, Unpaid Staff Organization.
Okay.
And you're also on the Program Council?
I was.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, and next?
I'm Bonnie Faulkner, KPFA Unpaid Staff. I produce a weekly a one-hour-long public affairs program called Guns and Butter at KPFA. And I, too, was just elected to the Unpaid Staff Council. There's five of us for the council to represent the unpaid staff at KPFA.
Okay, and the third person?
I'm Ruthian Spinner. I'm a producer on a show on KPFA, Pushing Limits, which is a show on disability rights. And I also work on the weekend news, and I was just elected to the unpaid staff council, along with Anthony and Bonnie and two others who are not on the phone call.
Okay, well, we welcome our new members from KPFA due to their recent election. So congratulations and glad to have you. And then finally, we are joined by National Election Supervisor, Casey.
I believe you're missing Terry.
Oh, my apologies.
KPFK
terrible. Forgetting our L.A. Reps. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, this is Terry Goodman, Chair of the PNB Elections Committee, listener, sponsor, representative to the KPFK Local Station Board, and I was a staff member back in the 70s at KPFK.
Okay, Casey?
Yes, this is Casey Peters, your National Election Supervisor and the listener sponsor of KPFK.
Okay, so and it's possible someone else, you know, one or two other people may join us, I'm not exactly sure, as we go along. Okay, so we should first just kind of have an agreement about how long we want to be on call tonight. Would anyone like to propose a time frame?
Yeah, I'm hoping we can do this in 60 minutes or less.
I'll second that because I'm getting picked up by transportation at 6.
Okay, 6, that would be 9.
Or between 6 and 6:30. So.
Right. So, okay. So, can we aim to wrap this up by 9:30 then? Is that 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's what we'll do. Now let's develop our agenda.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Point of personal privilege,
yeah,
I guess.
Sure.
I didn't get the name of the first UPSO rep.
Oh, that was, I think, Anthony, you spoke first?
Yeah, Anthony Fest from KPFA's UPSO.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so in this hour, hour and 10 minutes, I guess, what do we want to cover? I know there has been a proposal from Terry to have an item on how the work group should approach its task. That makes a lot of sense. It's kind of, you know, designing a roadmap for ourselves, pardon the expression. And I would like to see if we could have a few, just few minutes to ask Casey Peters for a couple of updates about where things are at in staff registration process and other issues related to staff and the elections. So maybe, 5 or 7 minutes on that. Does anyone else have any items?
Serene?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. New phone. Sorry. I'm hoping that maybe we can get sort of some information on what's happening with UPSO. I know your elections were just completed, so I know we'd spoken previously to two people who are not on the call, so I don't know whether they were reelected, but just sort of an update of what's happening with you guys would
right.
be helpful.
At KPFA.
Yeah, at A.
Okay. Anything else?
Next
all right.
Meeting.
I'm sorry?
Next meeting scheduling.
Yes, thank you very much. That's critical. Okay. All right. So I have, why don't we do the update things first and then the kind of broad how we're going to approach our task. And then, the next meeting should be quick. So do it in that order. The updates, the national updates, the UPSO update, the next meeting, and then how we approach our work. Okay, any objection to that?
Well, just one thing. As newcomers, this is Anthony Fest at KPFA. I and my colleagues here are newcomers. We'd like to get a little clearer discussion of exactly what the duties of the working group are.
Sure.
Mandate. What
right. You know, I think that would go most naturally under the item about how the work group should approach its task, which Terry suggested. So
okay.
Why don't we combine those two? You know, we'll start off his item with the motion that established us and how we see our task, and then from there, kind of what work we want to embark on. Is that okay with you, Anthony?
Sure.
Okay, good. All right. So why don't we start with Casey? You just want to kind of bring us up to date on things like the staff registration process at the five stations, the communication of the FAIR campaign rules to staff, and just generally the process by which you're notifying staff of any policies that they need to be aware of. And if folks can mute if there's background noise, that would be helpful. I think it's star 6 is the way to mute your phone. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Casey.
Yes, well, the date of record for membership is rapidly approaching. That is August 31st, which is next Friday. That's the date of record both for the listener sponsor members whose period for membership begins September 1st, 2006 through August 31st, 2007 to qualify to vote 2007 Pacific elections. August 31st is also the date of record for staff voters for the three seats at each station that the staff will fill for their local station boards. The period of qualifying varies from station to station. The bylaws provide that there's a certain procedure for stations that have a management-recognized unpaid staff organization or collective bargaining group, and the stations that don't have such an organization have a period of qualifying that begins June 1st, 2007 and ends August 31st, 2007. And during that period, anybody who worked 30 hours for the station in volunteer work qualify as an unpaid staff member. There's a misconception among some people that only means people who are programmers, but that's not the case. Anybody who comes in to sort the mail or to help package and ship premiums, that does any sort of work around the station for an average of 2.5 hours per week qualifies at the stations that use the 30-hour threshold for the three-month period prior to August 31st. Those stations, actually all stations, have been asked to post their tentative list of people who are qualified or thought to qualify, and that list was supposed to have gone up August 1st. I don't know if it, I think KPFK had it ahead of time. I don't know if any other station had it posted on time, but I believe all the stations do have it posted now in at least one place, and those lists should be checked by everybody who is working as a volunteer, and particularly people who are doing programming, because they're the ones who tend to put in the most hours of volunteer work at the station. So on September 1st is a Saturday, next Monday is a holiday, Labor Day. I'm giving the stations until September 4th to post the revised list. People really need to check that list, because that you only have until September 15th to challenge that list. If you feel that you belong on the list and you're not, or you feel that there's someone listed who has not put in the requisite hours, and that needs to be brought up in a timely manner, because we need to have our mailing list prepared to go to the mailing houses in a timely manner. Well, what else can I talk about? I think I'll wait on the KPFA issue until that's discussed,
sure.
And I'll make my remarks about that when that arises. So if anybody has questions or comments about what I've said so far, feel free.
Yeah, Carolyn on the stack.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Well, I have three questions, Casey. First of all, how do the volunteers know? Because I think adding the people doing ad hoc volunteering around the station as staff members might be something new. I hadn't realized that they were on any sort of list ever. And how will they know that? And perhaps you could think about having a CART broadcast, telling the volunteers the new date and to tell them to come in and check the list. The list should be available online somewhere. I don't think at WBAI it is. And I know the revised list just went up August 18th, which is really late. So I guess a corollary to that is, are you going to extend the time people have to check because the list went up so late? The second question is, who is responsible at WBAI, if not the other stations? I mean, I'm just interested in knowing that. For the list of volunteers, I'm having trouble finding the old list. Someone, a listener, called me and wanted to have...
Okay, well, let me... Questions one at a time, if I may, Carol.
Oh, all right, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. On the first one, I think that's a good idea to post online, and if you could send me a reminder email about that, I'd appreciate it, because right now I'm in transit and there's not much I can do until Tuesday.
Okay. On the air is what I had meant. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think it's really appropriate to make announcements on the air, because we're dealing with a relative handful of people that we're not really addressing our listeners per se. We're addressing just the relatively small group of people who work at or for the station. I don't know that announcing it over the air would be a very effective way of reaching those people. I think that putting signs up around the station, and if it's possible, to a email, if there are email lists for staff and programmers and volunteers, then that's, I think, the most effective way of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you had one other question.
I had two more. The name of the whoever's responsible at BAI for the volunteer list, because I had someone who thought that he was on the list. and
my understanding is that he has just recently been hired as a volunteer coordinator for WBAI, and that the ending of the list has been sketchy over the past year, and in fact that there seems to be no records available from September 1st through the, through New Year's. And also, I believe, for March, April of this year. So we only have about half the year covered as far as keeping records. Whether those records will surface or were just simply weren't kept, I have no idea. Our local election supervisor, Dale Radner, is doing the best he can under the circumstances, but we might just have to patch those lists together. So that's the volunteer list that most of the people who are on the volunteer list will not qualify as unpaid staff because, for instance, there are two volunteer activities that are specifically barred from counting toward becoming unpaid staff. One of those is fund drive phone room work, which is, of course, a great percentage of the volunteer activity. And another is working on LSP committees. It does not qualify toward toward becoming unpaid staff.
I see. Okay, thank you. Say so someone had been, you were cutting in and out there, you say someone had been hired recently?
That's what the LES has informed me, that there has been a recent hire for the volunteer coordinator position, but this person is not fully aware of what the predecessor may or may not have done.
I see. I have one more question. Do you want me to hold it until
Carolyn,
other people?
Carolyn, hold on, please. This has gone on a while. Let's just see if there's other people who want to speak, and then
sure,
I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have questions? Yeah, Serene.
Thanks. On the issue, and you know, Casey, I'll be happy to follow up with you and Dale on this, because on the issue of volunteer lists in terms of the phone rooms, those lists have been consistently turned over to the fiscal and or membership department for the past, at least the past year. So it's very surprising to me to hear that they can't be found. I know at one point there had been a volunteer coordinator. I'm surprised to hear there's been a hire, since there's been no posting or advertising for such a job. But you know, we'll see what that's about. But there had been someone serving in that capacity on what we were told was a volunteer basis, and they also had been collecting the list. So it's not as though the list is. I mean, I won't name names because I don't think that's necessarily the most constructive way to go about this, but I'd be happy to talk with you and Dale about exactly where those lists go when they leave the phone room. On the issue of volunteers, the difference, rather, between unpaid staff and people who simply accrue the 3 hours and accrue listener memberships through the 3 hours, the line is actually very clear. If you're working as staff, you're working on an ongoing basis. You've done this work, certainly in New York, for at least 4 months consistently, and there are notices explaining to people how you become eligible for USOC. At the other stations, I would imagine that you're working under a department head, so that if you, I mean, you don't just go into the station and find work. You're assigned work. So, there are ways of tracing who's accountable to whom and who reports to whom, and therefore the easiest way to reach people. I agree, it's not exactly the best use of our airtime. I think it might be particularly confusing to people, actually, with all the other announcements running around the election issue. I would be interested. Well, you hadn't completed your report, or had you?
Casey,
I'm sorry, I missed that last bit.
Were you done? Because there's something else I wanted to ask, but maybe you intended to cover it.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing. Could you say that? I'll just ask my question.
I think Serene, he did say that he was open now to questions and did, so what if you have something else, go ahead now.
How are you reaching you and the local election supervisors reaching the staff? How is the communication being routed, or how is it being handled?
Well, generally, it's done through signage at the studios and through email lists.
Okay, so the local election supervisors are communicating directly with the staff. I mean, I know in case of
instances, we've put leaflets in their mailbox. The programmers and all people who have mailboxes.
And by email as well, or just paper?
I believe it's both.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
But I can't guarantee that that's true for all states.
Okay. Anyone else have questions for Casey? Okay, Carolyn, your final question.
Oh, thank you. The question was, what the last question was, what communication you have. How will you check for challenges? For instance, if somebody looks at the list on there and says, oh, I've been working with that program and I never heard of that person, what is your procedure, especially if you have no email or phone?
The challenges have to be proactive. I'm not checking for them. They have to come to me at this point. If people have concerns, primarily, I would hope, it would be people who have concerns about those who are inadvertently excluded. The idea that, oh, well, I've never heard of that person, oftentimes there are people involved in the production of shows who actually never even come into studios. Obviously, there are some cases, there may be a legitimate concern that somebody who had previously been unpaid staff has discontinued their association with the station for whatever reason, moving or health or whatever, and so those concerns should be raised, but primarily, our concern is about not excluding people who should be getting their ballots.
Well, I was really asking, do you have any records of workers kept by USOC or management that you can?
I have no records, but.
Casey, are you still there?
Yes, I personally have no records.
Okay, you're cutting out. You're cutting in and out.
I'm sorry, I personally have no questions.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and Casey, I have just one quick question about the process of challenges. When you said you will review challenges, do you mean you'll be the first resort, or will it go to the local supervisor and then people can appeal?
Well, I rely on my supervisors to do as much as they can on their end before I have to deal with things, so yes. When they don't believe that there's a clear-cut answer, then they will pass it on to me.
Okay. And is there a clear written appeal process for complaints? For challenges or complaints in general?
No, we don't have a form prepared or anything like that. I presume that people will probably either email, which is preferable, or telephone the local election supervisor to raise their concerns.
Okay. All right. One last chance for anyone who hasn't asked something yet. Anything? If not, we'll move on.
Hello.
Yeah. Is that Serene? Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Casey?
Yes.
Okay. The deadline again you said for challenges is what?
When the new lists are posted, which should be no later than a week from Tuesday, that being the first day, the first work day of September, then people should encourage to look over the list and to see if anybody who should be on it is inadvertently excluded, or if anybody who shouldn't be on the list is inadvertently included.
Okay, thanks.
And then that concern should be raised, preferably in writing, preferably by email, to your local election supervisor. And if you don't know the email for your local election supervisor, I can tell you that right now. It's vote, and then the call letters of the station, so in your case it would be vote WBAI, @gmail.com. So each election supervisor has their local station call letters at votekpfk@gmail.com or whatever it happens to be.
And the deadline you said is the?
Well, the absolute deadline is the 15th, but obviously the sooner the better for clearing these matters up, because we have many other matters we have to deal with in September.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Casey, for that update. And why don't we move on now to the question of the KPFA unpaid staff organization and their status. So which of you would like to kind of present an update? And keep in mind that this is being web streamed, so there's people who may not know any of the background. So if you could give a little bit about kind of a very, very quick history of your organization, how it became recognized by management, and then the recent developments.
Do you want to do that, Anthony?
Sure. I don't have the history going way back. I've been told by people who've been around here longer than me that the KPFA UPSO goes back 17 or 18 years. And as far as I know, has always been either explicitly or implicitly recognized by the succession of managers in that time period. So certainly we were taken aback earlier this month when we emailed a memo from our interim general manager saying, if I can quote it to quote it verbatim, "Currently, there is no management-recognized unpaid staff organization." This came, on August 13th. It was circulated, which of course, when there's only a few weeks left in the qualification period, by de-recognizing UPSO, the interim GM also altered. Assuming this stands, it alters the qualification period to vote or run in our LSB election. By the way, I'm on our LSB. I wrote a motion which was passed at our most recent meeting on the 18th, asking management to retract that memo and continue to recognize our UPSO. That was 9 days ago, and as yet we haven't had any reply from management. If someone wants to look at these documents, they're on the Internet. The site is pacificana.org.
Could you repeat that?
Sure, pacificana.org.
Can you spell it?
Sure, it's like Pacifica with an N-A at the end, P-A-C-I-F-I. C-A-N-A, like Americana, the Pacificana.
Okay.
If you, they're on the homepage, if you scroll down about halfway, you'll actually see the UPSO motion, or the LSB motion first, and then a couple items below that, you'll see the IGM's memo.
Okay, is there anyone else from KPFA who would like to add to what Anthony said?
This is Bonnie. An additional memo was sent out by the IGM after the LSB vote that did not address the LSB vote, but sort of reconfirmed what was said in the first memo. And one of the major points seems to be that in the Pacifica National bylaws, it says something about, I don't have it in front of me, something to the effect that unless an unpaid staff organization has rules to the contrary, it doesn't say, I'm just trying to give the meaning here, any unpaid staff member would be somebody who worked 30 hours in the prior 3 months. But our unpaid staff organization bylaws at KPFA, which we have voted on several times, reaffirming this, and this is the longstanding rules of our organization, is that it's 30 hours in the past year. So it would be 30 hours in the past 12 months as opposed to 30 hours in the past 3 months. So that's sort of a major piece of this.
Okay, well, if I may, I just pulled up the bylaws on screen. So let me read, because I don't think your summary was quite precise, just so everyone's clear on what the bylaw says. And I'm quoting from Article 3, Section Section 1, Subsection B. Staff members shall be, one, any non-management, full-time, or part-time paid employee of a foundation radio station, or two, any member of a foundation radio station, unpaid staff organization, or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, which has been recognized by station management, or if the station has neither such organization or bargaining unit, then any volunteer or unpaid staff member of foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising, marathon, telephone room, volunteer time. That's basically the definition.
Oh, but
well,
yes.
This is Anthony.
Yes.
Bonnie was referring to our UPSO bylaws.
Oh, I apologize. I thought you said something about the Pacifica National bylaws.
Well, I was speaking of both. See, our bylaws in our view, well, our bylaws supersede those of the Pacifica bylaws. What's happened is that the IGM has simply sent out a memo saying, as Anthony said, that all of a sudden our unpaid staff organization is being unrecognized by management, therefore claiming that we don't have one. And
did
therefore, in her opinion, our own bylaws don't apply, but the Pacifica National bylaws apply, which are much more stringent in terms
of
their definition.
Did she give a reason why that UPSO is no, she's saying it's no longer recognized?
Yeah, she's saying it hasn't met for a year or more, which is correct. But when the incumbent UPSO Council was failing to call meetings, the IGM was silent all that time. And now, and when finally some other unpaid staff broke the cycle of inaction and formed an election committee and called an election and carried out an election, now the IGM is suddenly objecting. So it seems rather selective.
Right.
And that's actually the reason the three of you are on this call tonight, is because weren't you just elected very recently by the to the UPSO Council?
That's
right.
Okay. Anyone else?
Sharam was termed out.
Okay.
I just wanted
to ask if I'm so sorry, I forgot the name of the third person from KPFA.
Ruth Ann.
Did you want to add anything?
She's not on the call at the moment.
Okay.
She's working on a news story.
Okay. All right, then I guess we can open it up to people from other stations. So I heard Serene. Is there anyone else who wants to ask questions or make comments? All right, well, we'll see where we go. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, you said the date of this first memo, and I'm sorry, I haven't been online very much in the past couple of weeks, but you said the date of this was the 16th of August?
Which memo is this?
The date of the first memo.
From the KPFA IGM?
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually It was an email dated the 13th of August.
Okay. So with less than 2 weeks, well, with just about 2 weeks left in the qualifying period, people are told that they don't qualify under the old formula, and they've just lost 2.5 months during which they might have qualified under the new formula?
Yeah, because
essentially the record period, in case you can correct me on this, began running June 1st for those stations that don't have unions. So while I'm not at all accepting that derecognition is a legitimate action or even an action that should be considered within Pacifica for almost any reason, I just want to be sure that we're clear on what the staff is being presented with now with literally, 18 calendar days in which they can qualify. They're being told that the rules have just changed?
That's correct. What concerned me as well was that someone might have volunteered heavily in the winter and spring and then perhaps being a student or a teacher or something gone away for the summer and then come back and then discover that the volunteering they had done earlier in the year counted for nothing because they what only counted was what started on June the 1st, which seems like changing the rules not before the game, but when the game is almost over.
Yeah, I know that and I don't know the details of what happens locally I can only say that the idea of retroactive, in fact, not just derecognition, but almost retroactive derecognition is certainly something that causes and should cause a lot of alarm, whether or not one's anywhere near Berkeley. You know, that's not good stuff.
And what concerns me, too, is that I said earlier, but as far as I know, this has never happened before, even with the various crises that have beset the station over the years, even the lockout of 1999, I don't think anything like this happened.
Yeah, this is Bob. I just want to add that this seems particularly really inappropriate and unwarranted by the bylaws or by any other authority, but particularly where the bylaw says any unpaid staff organization or collective bargaining unit which has been recognized by station management. So that goes on to give that forms the definition of unpaid staff membership, which then attaches to it the right to vote and various other rights. So it just seems. I don't see any even the beginning of a foundation to argue that when it has been recognized, as you said, for upwards of 16 or 17 years, to then on the eve of the election, just by fiat, to say it's no longer recognized. I mean, I don't see how that can be valid in any way.
I have another point of information.
Yeah, go ahead.
When did you guys complete your election?
Oh, let's see. 21st, I think it was, the votes were counted.
Okay, so you were in the process of the election. You were in the process of balloting at the time that you were derecognized?
That's right. Yeah, the ballots had gone out about around the 1st of August, I think.
So when your IGM wrote this memo derecognizing you, she knew there was an election underway to reactivate.
Yeah, we had flyers up around the station.
So the reason that she gave, which is that it had been defunct, had already changed. I'm not even saying that would have been a valid reason, but even if one could see that as a valid reason, then that wasn't even current anymore. That was outdated information. Is that right?
Yeah, one thing I said at the meeting was it seemed like the organization was starting to get back on its feet and they trying to kick its feet out from under it when it's finally rising up off the floor.
So, does anyone else have questions, comments?
Terry. Well, Carolyn here.
Yeah, go ahead, Carolyn.
Oh, Terry, I think I heard first.
Oh, yeah, Terry.
yeah, I
My interpretation of the bylaws is that an unpaid staff organization is recognized for the purpose of delegate elections if they are recognized for that purpose on the record date of the election. One of the theories in the requirement of having general managers responsible for maintaining lists of those who would be staff if there was not a recognized staff organization at a particular station was that if there was a problem getting a list from the organization, or if there were verified claims that the list was inappropriate, there would be the option for management to de-recognize the organization on the day before the record date and re-recognize them on the day after the record date, so that the de-recognition would only apply to the delegate elections and not to any other bargaining agreements. And that the definition of staff that applies to most other stations would then apply at that station.
I'm sorry, I was interrupted for a moment. Who just spoke?
This is Terry Goodman.
Okay.
So it's not. It certainly was recognized that this would be perceived as unfair if there was like even no notice at all. But it was an emergency option. KPFA management, now that there has been an election, even though management is not all that happy with how the election happened, still has the option to recognize the organization by the record date and to make the election supervisor undo whatever work they've done expecting something else.
Did anyone from KPFA?
I was kind of confused there. I'm sorry.
Bonnie, do you want to formulate your question?
Well, I don't know. I guess I wasn't getting what Terry was saying. That you're talking about the date of the election, right?
No, we're talking about August 31st, the date of record for membership. Qualify to vote in the election.
Yes, okay.
Which is also the date of record for categorization, I presume.
Yes, they go hand in hand.
Well, if I may, this is Bob. I actually remember quite vividly the formulation of this paragraph of the Pacifica bylaws, and I had, you know, I spoke to some people about it, and there were people from KPFA were involved, as well as other stations in formulating this language, and it in no way, shape, or form bore any resemblance to what the interpretation that Terry just gave.
Okay.
It was absolutely about pre-existing unions or organizations that had a relationship with management that was recognized as the official representative of that unpaid staff, that they would be accorded a status of that their definition should be the one that applies. And it wasn't a question of, you know, if management didn't like something about how things were going at the moment, they could say, well, for this one purpose, we'll withdraw it. And if so, there would have been some language, some conditional language about the nature of the recognition, but it's a flat statement, an organization which has been recognized by station management. So I don't think that's at all consistent with the history of it. And in any case, even regardless of that, I still think the question of the timing of it is really it raises a serious question of fundamental unfairness of people having no opportunity to qualify if they knew that the rules were going to change, so that they had to do their service from June to, you know, from June 1st on. I heard someone else's voice. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is Anthony.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to just add one thing. You know, even if that could be done for convenience, I would strongly object to, you know, recognizing and de-recognizing like turning a faucet on and off. The matter has greater gravity than that. You know, it has implications, you know, far beyond one LSB election. As I said, I don't believe it's ever been derecognized before, and then we think of it as the nearest thing we have to a union. So if management were to say, well, we'll de-recognize it temporarily and re-recognize it after the qualification period has closed. I mean, that's trivializing what I think is a pretty important institution.
Okay, Carolyn was next.
Yeah, it seems clear to me that this particular bylaws have to be redone to be a little more specific, but it does raise the question of derecognition. I mean, what the IGM did at KPFA was specifically to announce de facto that this to make specific a de facto status, which is that the group was not recognized. WBAI, we've just had three IGMs and GMs who have simply been quiet and not recognized it, so we have a different kind of situation, but ostensibly I think if it ended up in court, it probably would be not recognized. So there are two stations that are really affected by this, and I'm not too sure where to take this. What would the group in KPFA like to do?
I asked to be on the stack.
Sure. Let's get an answer to Carolyn's question. To any of the folks from KPFA, what your plans are, what your next steps?
This is Anthony. My response was to draft the LSB resolution, and that was passed without any no votes. Some LSB members abstained. But as I say, we're still waiting for a reply from management.
Okay. So
and the gist of that was, I'm sorry, but what was the gist of your resolution?
Oh, the resolution that the management should withdraw the memo of August 13th and continue to recognize the unpaid staff organization as the legitimate representative of the unpaid staff, and also cooperate with the unpaid staff by posting materials on the website and sending out emails, providing access to the meeting rooms when we need it for UPSO business, all of which they've not been doing.
Anthony, I'm sorry, can you email, why don't you email me the resolution, and I'll forward it to the entire working group so everyone can see it. It doesn't have to be tonight, but when you have a chance.
Okay. I could repeat for those who want to follow along as we speak. These documents are on pacificana.org.
Thank you. And do you want to put me back on the stack after Serene or whoever else is speaking, please?
Okay. All right, Serene.
Thanks. You know, I spend a lot of time in the tally room during fundraising drives, both behind the supervisor's desk, if you will, as well as on the phones. And I value the time that people come in and give, whether it's 3 hours or every day, as some do during the drives. So when I say what I'm about to say, it's not that I'm minimizing the importance of what they do, because they're the necessary conduit between the people who listen and how, you know, the funds actually coming into the station. But there's a difference between someone who volunteers during a periodic fund drive and someone who has an ongoing programming or other operational relation to the station and someone who does this work on an ongoing and consistent basis. So it is always amazing to me to hear anyone within Pacifica, since we're supposed to be about social justice and rights of workers, documented or undocumented, and, you know, all the things that we present on our air. It's really always very amazing to me to hear people within the governance structure and the management talk about anything less than exemplary treatment for the workers, the people who are the engine of Pacifica, who do the programming, who do the work. No union should be considered for derecognition simply because, you know, someone is unhappy with what they perceive to be the results. And I don't want to, I want to be clear that I'm not assigning any, impugning any motive towards Lemlem on this. I don't know what the details were. I don't know what she saw. I haven't read any of the the writing, but I can't imagine that there is any situation at the station, and I know that, that you guys have gone through a couple of managers and interim managers, and you know, things are not ideal, and they're not ideal for staff or for management, and it makes then sometimes for people to be less active than they would be and more reactive and not sufficiently proactive. So I don't think it's a perfect situation there. It's not a perfect situation anywhere, least of all at our stations, although it is our mission to make them better in the world. No one should be talking about derecognizing a union, and certainly not for the convenience or inconvenience of an election. To derecognize this union, as was done so late in the game, so that people had no way of preparing. First of all, I don't sense that there's been any dialogue or discussion about this. And to do it in such a way that people have no recourse, you're either in or out, according to how your work over the past, you know, 3 months is perceived and interpreted by management. It's very disturbing to me that could have been done. And I will get online, I will read the documents, but I will say that I am predisposed to reject this on its face. One of the reasons that we have a clear, we know there's a difference between a staff person and a listener, and the intention in excluding management from being able to vote as staff was so that management would not be able to then choose who gets to be involved in governance. Managers can vote as listeners if they kick in their $25, but they don't get to decide who the staff reps are. And it seems to me by this retroactive exclusion of who knows how many people, not only does it put management in a position, and I'm not speaking to intent, but not only does it put management in a position to decide who gets to vote, it also, of course, allows them to decide who gets to run, which is, you know, the exact opposite of our intention through what some of you may remember was a very lengthy bylaws review and review process. So it seems to me that this simply has to be rejected. It has to be reversed without question. And, you know, anyone who's confused about the history of how these bylaws came to be, go back and look at the old drafts. There was never any suggestion that you get to derecognize a union. It's not the first time, unfortunately, that I've heard people in governance say it. But I think it speaks against the work that we claim to do as Pacificans, and it absolutely is not something we should be considering practicing.
Terry, on spec.
Okay. So Carolyn wanted to go on next, and then Terry, and then myself. Carolyn. Carolyn, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. I'm going to suggest, I don't have the exact formulation, but maybe before the evening is over, that we pass a motion. This all stems from a lack of documentation, that we pass a motion requiring the general managers to implement the PNB resolution requiring that they document the work done by unpaid staff. It seems to me that if the GMs do not do this, it just compounds the problem terribly.
Terry, then Serene, then myself. Terry.
Yeah. With regard to the idea that no union should be derecognized, I will dissent from that. I think a corrupt union should be derecognized, or a union that it's not serving its membership should be derecognized, or a union that's not as good as a competing possible union that would do better for the staff should be derecognized. The threat of derecognition is the only tool that management has to try to get a non-functioning union functioning. And I would have preferred that KPFA management use the threat rather than use the actuality in order to speed up the election of a new UPSO council. The default bylaws definition for stations that don't have a recognized organization was designed so that those who vote in the staff category are those whose current or recent status makes them a worker for the station, not their status 6 or 9 months ago. The bylaws were gave special status to BAI and KPFA because they had unions in place. The other stations did not. And those unions had different definitions, which the bylaws intended to be used. That's unquestionable, I think. I did want to clarify that when we're talking about exclusion, we're only talking about exclusion from the staff category and only those who are not currently or recently working as staff. Anyone who gets decategorized from the staff category is still eligible to vote or run in the listener sponsor category, even under our bylaws, if they have name recognition and would be competing against listener sponsors without that advantage. I have no reason to question Bob's recitation of the history of the language in the bylaws, but I do have to point out that to the extent that the language speaks for itself and is unambiguous, it doesn't leave room for interpretation. The bylaws are not unambiguous, and they leave a lot of room for interpretation. And in that event, the intent is a valid concern.
Okay. Serene was next, and then myself.
I'm a firm believer in self-determination. And I think it is management's role to provide, to facilitate the work of the staff and to make sure that the processes are in place to get the work done. I don't think management needs to tell staff, hey, I don't think your union is working, although, of course, they're free to share any opinion they wish. But there have been venues, I suspect someone must have staff meetings, and certainly if memos can go out in August, they can go out in May, that say, hey, is your staff union working? Okay, so to suggest that derecognition was the last resort of a management desperate to empower its staff, which is what I think I'm hearing here, does not really seem plausible. And again, I want to be clear, I'm not speaking to anyone's intent, although I did hear earlier in this call someone who is not KPFA management explaining the position of KPFA management. I'm not sure what that's about. But I'm a firm believer in self-determination. If I'm involved in the station and the group that is supposed to be serving me is not serving me, then it is my responsibility, as it seems some people of at KPFA have recognized, it's the responsibility then of the worker to join with other workers and to activate a body to serve the desired, someone seems to need to mute, maybe star six, to activate a body to get the work done. And it seems to me that they have done so. To suggest that, in fact, you know, it is a necessary thing or that it's a good thing, to say that someone who essentially is a staff and has served as staff but has now been removed because they didn't qualify because they qualified under the terms that they've been operating under since 2003 under this new LSB system, but suddenly they don't qualify, that they should go out and run as a listener is, I would argue, a corruption of that process. I suspect that the folks in Berkeley may not want, of the 9 listener seats that are available, to have 6 of them filled with people who are actually staff at KPFA, but have just been removed from that category by the derecognition. So while obviously if they've done 3 hours in the past year, they can vote and run as listeners, I don't think that's the solution. I think the solution is to take back this declaration, to reverse this declaration. The other thing I want to say is that